Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory forever.
It's good to see all of you here. Last Sunday's gospel was that of the sower, and in it Jesus warns of seed, the word of God, falling among the thorns, which are the cares and the riches of this world. Today's parable is used by Jesus to again warn against the dangers of earthly riches. The church wisely puts these together so that we focus on the problems that riches and mammon can have for us. In Matthew 19, Jesus warns that it's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. You're familiar with that parable. In Luke 6, he laments, "Woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation." Before we move on, as we talked last night and last week about being rich, okay, it's not time to start wandering, for your mind to wander by saying, "Well, I'm not rich." Okay, I told you that, having lived in a third world country for a year and having been blessed to do some traveling, we take for granted much of the riches that we do have. Last night we had Marcus, okay, Jan's husband, come and fix the light switch, put a new light switch, because it was giving us problems here. Why? Because we absolutely believe we push the button, the lights go on. We turn the faucet, right, and potable water comes out. We put the trash out in the morning and come back to an empty garbage can at night. Those are the things. We just take that for granted, but those are riches, riches throughout much of the world. So in Luke, he laments, "Woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation." And in Luke 12, Jesus teaches that a man's life does not consist of his possessions. And then to illustrate this, he tells the parable of the rich man who decided to tear down his barns and build bigger ones so as to store his riches. You remember that, right? And in the parable, God says to the rich man at night, "Fool, this night your soul will be required of you, and then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he that lays up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God." The writers of the epistles give similar warnings about money and riches and becoming attached to them. James was particularly dire in his admonitions to the rich. In his epistle, he gave two very direct warnings to the rich. In the first chapter, he says this: "Let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation, but the rich in his humiliation, because as a flower of the field he will pass away. For no sooner has the sun risen with a burning heat than it withers the grass, its flowers falls, and its beautiful appearances perish. So the rich man also will fade away in his pursuits." He goes on to say in the fifth chapter, "Come now, you rich, weep and howl for your miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches are corrupted and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver are corroded, and their corrosion will be a witness against you and will eat your flesh like fire. You have heaped up treasures in the last day." In his first letter to Timothy, Paul gives his oft misquoted warning about the love of money. We hear people say, money is the root of all evil. But it's Paul, as Paul rightly points out, it's the love of money when he says in his first letter to Timothy in the sixth chapter, "For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these shall we be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." In the sixth chapter of Matthew's Gospel, Jesus sums up what our relationship must be towards God and towards riches or money. He says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. He has said we have to decide who we are going to serve. God, or are we going to serve riches? Mammon is an Aramaic word meaning riches or wealth. The only other place that mammon is used is in Jesus' parable of the unjust steward found in Luke 16. And we have a hard time sometimes realizing, understanding that parable, because in it, you have the bad steward, right? He gets caught by the master and he knows he's going to get fired. So he gets everybody that owes his master and he says, how much you owe him? And he said, 50. He goes, okay, write 10. And he gets another one, how much you owe? 15. I will, never mind, here, write 5. Okay? And the parable is often misunderstood because Jesus commended the dishonest steward, not for his acts, but because he clearly understood that money is a resource to be used to prepare for the future. The Orthodox believer must have this same perspective. We are not to love money as the Pharisees did, but rather to view it simply as something we can use in the service of God and thus store up treasure in heaven. Riches, that is money, in and of itself is not evil. It is neither good nor bad. As Paul points out, love of it is the sin. Greed for it is the sin. Covetousness for it is the sin. Failing to use it in the service of God is the sin. Serving it is the sin. And we prepare people to serve it. We think nothing of spending vast sums for our children to become doctors and lawyers and all kinds of things in hope and anticipation they have a good job, which in our society is defined as one that makes a lot of money. And that's the definition of a good job. And so we'll have them in school for 12 years and then in 7 more for a total of 19, 20 years so that they can become servants of men. In summary, we can see that the New Testament presents 3 important insights on money. Number 1, money has no ultimate value. That's the parable of the foolish rich man who says, oh boy, I got everything, now I'm going to live good, he says, and feast sumptuously, and life is wonderful. I got a little commercial I heard not too long ago on the radio. It's a little kid's voice. And saying, I want a good job. I want to make money. And they're leading. And I'm not sure what it's. Did anybody hear that one? What is it for? Do you know? I couldn't understand.
I don't know what time it
is. What?
I thought it was a drug
commercial. Well, then ask. Oh yeah, you can't do it if you take drugs. I'm saying it. Well, gee, I mean, we could have done better than that. Okay. It has no ultimate value. Second, a love of money distorts relationships with God and with others. Paul's warning that such love of money is the root of many evils. It does distort our relationship with God because we start to think we don't need God. We got everything. And it can distort our relationship with others because we think we're better than them. You find in the epistles chastisement of churches because they were looking down on people. The church fathers telling us if we treat somebody who wears fancy clothes better than the poor man, we're hypocrites. But you see, money can distort that relationship. More importantly, the desire for money wars against our desire to serve God. We're torn. As Jesus said, you cannot serve God and mammon. The Orthodox Christian must choose to make one or the other the highest goal in his life. That's what we have to do. We were talking last night at adult education about that it's difficult to be an Orthodox Christian. It is. It is difficult. But it's the only way. If we have chosen as our goal our relationship with Christ and His Father. Now, if we choose as our goal mammon, then it doesn't make any sense. We just show that, you know, just forget about it. Okay, because it's contrary to the goal of serving mammon. But it's correct for the goal of serving God. The money is to be, third, money is to be used, not valued for itself. The New Testament makes it clear that money is to be valued only for what good one can do with it. The poor need the wealthy, and the wealthy need the poor. The poor need the rich so that they can have the necessities. The rich need the poor so that they can use their riches for the grace of God and their glory to come. After condemning the love of money, Paul goes on to order Timothy to admonish the rich to do good with their wealth. So we go back to Timothy, and a few verses after the one I read to you about the love of money, Paul says this: command, he doesn't say, you know, tell them. He says, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share. Storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold onto eternal life. Finally, all that we have heard today can be summed up in one verse from the letter to the Hebrews. And in that letter, in the 13th chapter, at the 5th verse, it says this: let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. And then to take those things that we have and to use them for the greater glory of God. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory forever.